As a result of practicing mindfulness and mindful coping practice for many years, I have come to the realization that one of the mindsets or the habits of thought or habits of belief that has caused me probably the greatest amount of unnecessary suffering has been the pervasive belief, and it takes a lot of different forms, and it comes in a lot of different flavors, and shows itself in a lot of different shapes, is the belief that anything, you know, that is happening or has happened will lead to anything else. And it sounds very simple to talk about that concept or that pattern of belief. But when I really take a deeper look at the issues that I have struggled with at a deeper level and that also really affect my day-to-day life, they also affect my relationships with other people, with how I do my work, with how I just really live my life on a moment-to-moment basis, is being aware of this tendency to decide whether or not I'm going to do something or make a decision about how I'm going to do something or when I'm going to do something based on some sort of underlying belief that if I do this, then that will happen. You know, in other words, it's kind of the old, like, you know, if I do A, then I'm expecting the result to happen is B, so to speak. And it doesn't really necessarily, on the surface, it seems fairly harmless. In other words, you know, this gets into a very deep discussion, you know, regarding human motivation and why we do the things we do. And you can really get into this very deeply where you start looking at, you know, why do we even get out of bed in the morning? Why do we, you know, do the things that we do in terms of our work and our efforts? And not to get really existential about this, because that's not really the point here. This is really more about how mindfulness can actually help me to not get so caught up in making my choices and making my efforts based on some sort of belief or expectation that if I, you know, work really hard doing this, that will happen. Or if I treat someone a certain way, that they will treat me, you know, this particular way. There's so many different ways in which this belief, this pattern of belief shows up in our lives. And I've worked with so many people and have talked to so many people about this. And even though I'm keeping this really general, what I find is that each human being that I have spoken with about this essentially has a different set of circumstances or a different set of struggles that have to do with this. I would definitely say that this is one of those that sometimes is not able to be, you know, it's not easy to address in the beginning once someone starts a mindfulness practice. Sometimes it does take some time and some healing work to be able to really get, you know, to a deeper level to see the complexity of how this sort of pattern of belief affects us on a moment-to-moment or a day-to-day basis. And the really taking a look at, I guess what I would do is really speak more about, in general, some of the struggles that have taken place as a result of blindly or mindlessly harboring these expectations that, you know, something that should lead to something else. And here's the interesting thing about it, at least in my mind, is that it doesn't even have to be related to something that I do actively. It could even be something that I do passively. It could be something that I don't, you know, do anything about in the hopes that if I don't do anything or if I don't react, you know, hopefully this will happen. But where I have found that it has, you know, it has been a struggle is in terms of interpersonal relationships and human relationships. And it also has shown its face a lot in just the things that I actively do each day to try to push my work forward, to try to get done what needs to be done in terms of making a living. And I would say those would be really the two primary areas. And it could even be in my own personal life. In other words, you know, the struggles that I've had with family members or with friends or even acquaintances in terms of my, you know, in terms of my expectations for how people should, you know, treat me or what they should do. If I do this, you know, it's very easy to get into a place where I can be really wrapped up in, you know, if I do this, why didn't they respond this way? And then it, all of a sudden it kind of leads to me thinking that they're, you know, I start getting really wrapped up in thinking that there's something wrong with me and maybe I didn't do, you know, I didn't do what I was supposed to do in the right way and that somehow this is some sort of punishment. And really all I'm doing here is I'm not wanting to give an exhaustive list of these struggles, but what I do find is that I have come to a place where I've started looking at anything that I decide to do, and I'm not advocating that anyone do this, but what I really tend to do is I really, because of the fact that it's been sometimes such a struggle, and a lot of times this happens at a really deep level. I may not even be thinking about it consciously, but somehow I may find myself in a situation where I do something out of the kindness of my heart. I do what I really feel moved to do. And somehow, even if I am not owning it consciously, I'm finding that there is some sort of something going on. And I don't want to say it's in my unconscious. It's more, I think, along the lines of it's underneath the surface. It's, you know, somewhere between the conscious and unconscious mind. And not to get too overly technical with that, because I don't know enough about that to really speak about it, other than just a general understanding. But if I am walking around, and this is really the point I've come to, is that mindfulness practice has allowed me to become aware of the fact that I'm thinking this way. And that's really, really what I'm wanting to focus on, is that anytime I do anything or take any sort of action or choose not to take an action, anytime that I make any sort of effort or, you know, come up with a plan for something that I want to do or make some sort of changes, whatever it is, I want to be aware of the fact that I'm doing this, or I really what I'm trying to do is I'm paying attention or I'm being aware so that I can catch myself in the act of somehow, even if it is very passive, even if it's very beneath the surface, that I want to know if I am thinking this way. And sometimes those thoughts, as far as, you know, if I do this, that should happen. Or if I don't do this, that should happen. Or if I treat a person this way, or if I do this for them, maybe they're going to fill in the blank, you know, whatever it is. Maybe I will get that praise and adoration that I'm looking for, the validation. Maybe if I do this, you know, maybe that they will be willing to do that for me, or whatever the case may be. But I want to really be aware of that, and I want to make sure that when I'm preparing to do something, that I really want it as much as possible to come from a genuine place. And I want to be free of those expectations. I want to be free of operating from that paradigm of somehow needing anything that I do to be fueled by some sort of belief and expectation that if I do this, then that's going to happen. And it is easier said than done. And I have uncovered a lot of baggage in that area. I can go back and see, and not that I want to get really overly focused on this, but a lot of my choices in the past really had to do with being, you know, as much focused on the expectation of what I hoped or wanted to happen than it was about just doing what I felt moved to do because it's what seemed like the right thing to do at the time. And I know that a lot of the ancient Hindu teachings, and I'm sure they're all wisdom traditions, speak of this to a certain degree, about making an effort without being attached to the fruits of the rewards of those efforts. And that's really what I want to try to practice in my moment-to-moment life. And not even, this is really, to me, is not even a day-to-day proposition. This is really more of a moment-to-moment proposition. And there's really two sides to this, because there's not only in terms of what causes challenges for me, is not only the weight of and the gravity of all these carrying around all these expectations and all these scenarios in my head for, okay, if I do this, this is hopefully going to happen. If I don't do this, hopefully this is going to happen. If I treat this person this way, hopefully they're going to treat me this way. If I do this project, hopefully it's, you know, this is going to happen and that's going to happen. And what I find is that it not only is about that, but it's also about my reactions when whatever I am hoping would happen or whatever I expect would happen doesn't happen. In a lot of cases, I can definitely say, and I'm kind of finding myself smiling and almost wanting to laugh at my own human silliness for, I'm not making fun of myself or making light of it, but I do feel like it is very healing and therapeutic to be able to sit here and just look at the ridiculousness of how I have sometimes really believed if I did something that, you know, it was going to lead to something else. And that's really what this boils down to. I'm finding, and I guess what I would say here is the reaction to that can cause me just as much problem, if not more problems, than carrying around the weight of all these expectations and belief that, you know, this should lead to something else. It's amazing how tied into that I can get to where I'm no longer able to really just roll with what's happening or just embrace where I find myself, because I'm busy being somewhere else trying to figure out why whatever it was that I tried to do a certain way or didn't do, you know, didn't, and you know, it, or where I found myself, you know, that just by where I found myself didn't lead to whatever it was I logically thought was going to happen next. And what I find is that sometimes the reactions to these things put me in a place where I'm not able to cope as well. I find that I become very discouraged. I can get very despondent depending on how attached I am to what it is that I thought something would lead to something else. And there's times where I found myself literally almost emotionally flat on my back during these kinds of situations when I have so overinvested in the belief that, you know, something should lead to something else. And when it doesn't and things don't pan out the way I had hoped or expected, then I find myself really losing motivation. At some point, there's just kind of a lack of will to be in life and really do what it is that I, you know, need to be doing and am moved to do, because it's become so tainted with, I mean, I get to a point sometimes where I have gotten to the point, or I've gotten to the point where I sometimes have lost sight of what exactly I was being moved to do. Because what happens is, you know, these beliefs that, you know, something should lead to something else, and if I do this, that should happen, can really color it, you know, color our perception of what it is we're, you know, we sh- you know, should be moved to be, or what we're moved to do and what we feel like we should do. And what I found is that life is a whole lot quieter in a lot of cases when I am not believing what I'm thinking about how, you know, this should lead to something else, and I expect that if I do this, this will, you know, this will take place. So it is something that has, I think it's, you know, not only those carrying those beliefs around make it very, very hard to cope, because what I find is sometimes when life is moving very quickly and things are not always completely crystal clear about what it is I should do and shouldn't do, any bit of energy that I'm using, even if it's just, you know, underneath the surface, not necessarily in my conscious mind, or sometimes it is, what I find is it's a lot harder for me to decide what I should do based on, you know, where I find myself or what the conditions are on the ground, so to speak, because I am running all these other background processes about how this should lead to that. And, you know, it's almost like my mind is busy mapping something out, and it's kind of like I can't really get in touch with what my heart is telling me because I'm too busy paying attention to my mind. And I use that distinction in a very general way, and I realize, you know, there again, there's a lot of different wisdom traditions that speak of the heart, you know, and its relationship to the mind and to the physical body. And so I don't want to assume you know, a certain way of looking at that. The only way I can really look at that is the way that really speaks to me and resonates with me, because I can only really know my own experience. So in terms of coping mindfully, what I really have found is that I first, you know, you really have to kind of start at the beginning, that I really want to be aware and be on the lookout. And I don't want to actively, you know, be focused on being on the lookout. I just want to, if I practice paying attention to what my mind is doing, it's not like I have to stop everything in order to pay attention to my mind. The more that I practice, at first it may take a little more effort and a little more focus and concentration. And that's why generally people begin a formal mindfulness or a meditation program, you know, seated quietly in a quiet room in a place where they can really just, you know, be focused on what their mind is doing. But after we do that for a period of time, it gets easier and easier to continue to be aware and mindful, which really being, you know, mindfulness and awareness are essentially the same thing, that we can do that while we're in the middle of life. And that's what I kind of refer to as being mindful on our feet. You know, we're in the middle of life while things are happening, and we can actually be a really a witness. We can have just a little bit of headspace to stand back, metaphorically speaking, and see what our minds are doing. And it amazes me. I've been really, really focusing on this, you know, these expectations and these beliefs that anything should lead to anything. And I really use that in kind of a general catch-all sort of sense, because I think, you know, just even for me, what I found, this is just really speaking for myself, if I believe that anything should lead to anything else, I know I'm starting to move down the wrong path. And not that it's, you know, not that it's morally wrong, or not that I'm a bad person for doing it. It just, what I find is that if I am really focusing in any way on making calculations in my head about what something should lead to something else, then I'm not really going to be free to be able to just be who I am, who I genuinely am, spontaneously and organically in any given moment. So the idea here is to just be aware. The cool part is it doesn't really have to be complicated. All I really have to do is be willing to practice mindfulness, however that is. There's no minimum period of time every day. There's no certain way I have to sit. You know, it's just really what works for each individual. And all I really have to do in the beginning is, that's the beautiful part, is I don't have to solve the entire problem. This isn't about going in and, you know, I don't need to take a 2-week sabbatical and, you know, set aside all of my responsibilities in order to deal with this issue. All I really have to be willing to do is just be aware. And I can do this, you know, the more I practice doing this, you know, being still, seated, standing, walking, whatever it is, just, you know, as free from distractions as I can be. What I'll find is the more I practice this, it will get easier and easier every day to be able to just pay attention. And whenever I catch myself starting to go down that road of thinking that if I do this, it should lead to that, or, you know, when anything that happens should, then if this happens, then this is going to happen. And if I can just be aware of it, all I have to do is really let go of that. I don't have to believe it. Just because I'm thinking it doesn't mean I have to believe it. And that's really what this boils down to. And I don't have to fix all this. I don't have to go in and do this major overhaul on my mind. It's really, really simple. All I really have to do is just pay attention. What can affect so much change, and it's surprising to people. I've talked to so many people who I've worked with that have found this, that it's just being aware and sustaining that awareness can change so much, because a lot of what happens after we're aware of a certain thought pattern that is self-defeating or that is not helping us or serving us in any way, we start to practice letting go of these things and no longer clinging to them. And then we can finally start to experience some freedom from these things, because we realize that these are really just thoughts. These really are, these, you know, the, whatever it is I'm thinking is not always the truth. The truth really stands on its own. It's what's really happening in any given moment without it being interpreted by the human mind. And the closer I can get to that, the better off I'm going to be. And I know that, you know, when I let go of my need to cling to what I'm thinking, to what I'm believing, to thinking that I have the answer about what it is, allows me to be closer to that absolute truth or that universal truth. And I know all different wisdom traditions speak of that in a little different way. But it really does allow me to just start being myself. And the other thing is, I think, I've talked to enough people, sometimes it's so hard to be in the moment. It's so hard to be here right now without being distracted and lured into thinking that, you know, okay, this is this moment. Well, you know, if this moment is like this, then the next moment, or here in a few minutes or later today, it's going to be like this. So I can deal with right now and cope with right now, because I'm looking somehow, I'm convincing myself that there's something, you know, like a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. I don't know if there always is or not. I don't know if anyone really believes that fully. I can't say, because I can only know what my experiences have been and what it is that I know. for myself. But at the end of the day, what I find is that the more I can just live now and not need to really even be focused at all on where it's going to lead. And I know a lot of this comes from fear, and I've dealt with a lot of that in my life, and I still do. I don't want to say that I have fixed it all or that I have arrived to a place where I'm no longer struggling with fear, because I certainly am. And like any human being, there's, you know, just the existential fear of being alive, of dealing with what we deal with on a physical and a psychic level. But at the same time, though, I know that the more I can just live in each moment and kind of dwell in that moment without any belief or even, you know, seeing a pattern that this is going to lead to this, and I can just really be here. And I know that the only way I've been able to do that, and I can't say that I do it 100% of the time, because I don't. I'm human, and I'm clearly fallible, and I have, you know, I have baggage that I'm carrying with me, just like all people have. And it's a matter of trying to start, you know, getting, you know, in, you know, if there is baggage, you know, starting to delve down into that and to start working with it. And that's really what, you know, I find that I can't do that at all. I, you know, no matter how, and there's no right or wrong way. I know there's a lot of healing modalities to do that, that enable us to do that. But I know that none of those things will work for me if I'm not first practicing awareness and not being a prisoner of my own mind and not believing everything I'm thinking about how I'm feeling. And that's really what, you know, what this comes down to. And it's amazing how much more, you know, rewarding life can be, how much more meaningful it can be. At least what I've experienced is if I'm not so wrapped up in the belief that, you know, if this happens, it's going to lead to this. You know, what next? It's almost like it leads us to that point where it's kind of like, okay, this is happening. What next? What next? And if I know really what I want to happen next, then the idea is, how do I engineer this, or how do I optimize this situation so that, you know, what I really want to happen next happens? And what I have found is the most damage I've done as a human being, the most, the most powerful way that I have caused pain and suffering for others and for myself, and really gotten off track and kind of gotten lost, has been those times when I'm really focused on that. I'm all about what's next. You know, this is great, but what about, well, you know, what about what's coming later? And so I, you know, the more I can let go of that, I can recognize that it's a human tendency. I can recognize that it's a product generally of a mind that is not aware of what it's doing to itself and to the person who it belongs to. But then there's no judgment there, because, well, you know, I've done it. You know, I've spent a lot of my life being trapped there. And it's just a matter of, there is a key to unlock, you know, that cell, so to speak, and allow us to be free from that. And, you know, once in a while, even though, you know, I can't say that I'm completely free, it's a process. I know I'm never completely going to get there, but I know that every step that I do take in the direction of not being free from these beliefs, that's going to be that my life is hopefully going to be that much more meaningful. And I can really utilize whatever extra energy I have to try to be of service to others, to do the best work I can do, to take, you know, discharge my responsibilities in the best way I can, and just really be the best human I can be. Not because I think it's going to lead to anything else, but just because that's essentially the practice, and that I can really have that level of satisfaction knowing that I've been able to hopefully live a life that's as free of suffering that it possibly can be.